All right, good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Friday, the 22nd of October. My first ever threesome. Well, is it? Oh, that would be telling, wouldn't it? But I've got, we've got Scott here as always, or Zed as he's known, looking like some fucking Ali G gone wrong this morning. He's got a back-to-back baseball cap. He looks like he's got like a fucking road worker's jacket on. Some sort of fluorescent orange thing. He's going to go and put cones out. And an orange Under Armour cap back to front with some mirrored sunglasses. And we've had three different backgrounds. Love Island, we got now. He's a fucking idiot. And back from last year, I mean, he got sort of disgracefully kicked off when he tipped Crystal Palace up the win at Anfield. But KK's back. How are you, Kevin? Lovely to see you.
Yeah, I'm all good. Thanks, yeah. Yeah.
Lovely to have you.
I was about to say... But I don't know if this is my first threesome or not. So, but I was watching a program with Kelly the other night, and it's called. She goes through and looks for these Channel 5 specials. Right. Ever heard of those?
No, I don't. I don't think I've ever watched Channel 5.
No, well, I don't normally. But she goes through. She looks for these Channel 5 specials at about 11 o'clock at night, and normally they're on. Some sort of sexual exploits of some sort or another.
Really?
Yeah. And one come up and it just made me laugh last week, and it was all about threesomes. And it said 88% of men fantasize about having a threesome. And if I was fantasizing about a threesome, I don't think this one's going to float my boat much.
Oh, no, it wouldn't,
be mine.
No, I have to say, no, I miss. This, well, it could put you off for life, couldn't it?
I mean, look, Demi Moore and Kylie Minogue, and away we go, but not this one.
No. Look at this, I mean, look at the state of him, honestly. I mean, what I loved it before we came on here, Kevin's wife Kelly just said hello and she just poked her head in the camera. And just the look on her face when she caught a glimpse of Scott, just sort of bizarre, and walked off as if total disgust. I mean,
she's hiding now. She won't come back out.
I had this every day of the Euros, shit like this. It's genuinely how he dresses up. I'd said on the pod the other day when I did the interview with him, I turned up at Bournemouth. I thought, what the fuck am I looking at? I just wanted to get the old cab to spin around again. Thinking, well, that's a one-off. He then met me at St Pancras in the same get-up. About 3 months later, he had the same gear on. And what do you think of the name Zed?
I think it suits him.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
I was just thinking, imagine if you and Kelly did it. You'd be KKK. Have you got any spare pillowcases lying around with eye holes and nose holes cutting them?
We were actually talking about this when we listened to the Zed Tips podcast, and Kelly said, well, maybe you should have changed your name to Reed. And I said, well, no, I'm not doing that. And she said, well, I could always use my middle name. And her middle name is Lorraine. So she'd be Lorraine Kelly. And I said to her, definitely not. I'm not being married to Lorraine Kelly.
So her middle name, she's Kelly Lorraine Kelly.
Well, sort of. She's not really a Kelly, is she?
She didn't change her name. She's married a Kelly. She's Kelly Lorraine Kelly. It's fucking brilliant. KKK, the old Ku Klux Kellys. Will you stop changing your background, numbnuts? You're putting me off. I run a professional show here.
I thought the background was quite accurate.
Right, got a few bit of admin to get through. I think me and you could fall out here, Kev, because it's another thing that you're completely fucking wrong about. I'm just got to do a little prelude. If people want to turn this off now, because I'm going to cover the Bond movie now. And if you haven't seen it, there are spoilers in this for the next.
We don't mind hearing them.
But Kev, you loved it, I believe.
I did enjoy it, yeah.
It's absolute, complete and utter bollocks. There you go. It's not a Bond movie. It's shite. It's a half-decent action movie. It was a goodbye Daniel Craig fucking loving. In the world of recency bias where we live in, you'd think that he's the only Bond there's ever been, where Casino Royale was the only one of his films that ranks in the top Bond films. The story made absolutely no fucking sense whatsoever. Spectre killed Safin, played by Rami Malek. Spectre killed his family years ago,
yeah,
Mr. White. So he's trying to seek revenge on Mr. White's family, ends up Bond's girlfriend, Madeline, kills her family. then goes after Blofeld because he just wants revenge for his family. Blofeld ends up getting killed by Bond, and that scientist who's invented the nanobots turns them on Spectre. So Spectre's gone, who's killed his family. So he should be fucking going up to... Oh, Rami Malek should be going up to James Bond and saying, well, they've gone, son, let's go and have a beer. But no, for some reason that makes no sense whatsoever, all of a sudden, on top of that, he's decided he's going to fucking destroy the world and millions of people with these nanobots, which was never, ever explained why he suddenly went from just wanting to get revenge on Spectre to doing that. Just all of a sudden, he's got a fucking remote island as they're trying to make paybacks to the great Bonds of fucking Man with the Golden Gun and stuff like that. They're trying to make paybacks to that. So old James Bond is sent to destroy the island where Remy met... He's not James Bond. He's James Bond, though. He's not 007. We've got some other fucking 007 now, as we're now being set up for somebody identifying as a fucking T-Rex to be James Bond in the next film. It's complete and utter bollocks. He kidnaps James Bond girlfriend's daughter that we didn't know she had. James Bond rescues her. He's seen running off down a tunnel, escaping the island, old Rami Malek. He's off. He's gone. And then all of a sudden he appears at the end in a one-on-one with James Bond. What did he get there? Go, oh, fuck this, lads. I ain't doing that. No, let's go back. It's complete. It's absolute shite. It is fucking horrific. The holes in the story are dreadful. It was a fucking loving. It was preparing us for a goodbye, Daniel Craig, preparing us for either a female Bond, black Bond, whatever it may be. James Bond ends up getting blown up, you know, fucking dies at the end as we're split seconds from annihilation, doesn't escape, complete and utter bollocks. I'm a massive, massive Bond fan. He's a fucking literary character and a fucking good one if you read the books. We don't need a black Bond. We don't need a female Bond. I don't need any other type of fucking Bond. If you want to create female versions of that and black version, fucking write good stories and do them. Don't fucking hijack somebody else. What are we having next? Fucking Harriet Potter potting around in a fucking ballet dress with a fucking wand. It's absolute, you're getting out of hand, fucking bollocks. They took the Bond and they fucking ruined it. Good action movie, but it's certainly no better than any other action movie like fucking Die Hard or Bourne's or whatever. Complete and utter Bond movie bollocks.
Yeah, I agree with some of what you said there. I must admit, the story's weak. And the action, much as you said, there was some action. It wasn't as good as previous Bond films.
No.
But what I did think it was a good sending off for Daniel Craig.
Yeah, but it's not fucking Daniel Craig, it's James Bond.
I think it was a fitting ending for him, though.
All this fucking loving with Daniel. He's been good.
He was the best Bond, though, wasn't he?
No.
I thought he was as well, Kev.
That's just recency bias.
I thought he was the best Bond as well.
I think overall he was the best Bond.
Well, not for me. I think Sean Connery by a fucking long way. I think you go back and watch Goldfinger.
I did like Sean Connery.
From Russia with love.
Before, when you were doing the polls, Connery was my second best.
Yeah,
but we live in recency bias now. Films have got bigger, more action, more special effects. I do think Casino Royale is by far his best movie.
It was,
And it would be in my top three or four Bond movies of all time. But I think Sean Connery, and I just think we're disregarding the old movies as if they didn't exist. And they are absolutely, some of those are absolutely brilliant. Goldfinger's a brilliant movie. Dr. No's a brilliant movie. They're brilliant movies. But time to move on. But this is just shit what they're doing now. I mean, in effect, they have said, we're not going to have James Bond anymore. There won't be a Bond movie. It'll be a 007 movie.
And it'll
it'll be an octopus with eight fucking guns or something coming out. That's what we're getting. Complete and utter bollocks. Right, moving on. Don't want to talk to you anymore. It's enough of that. And then we've got... you see those protests, Netflix protests yesterday outside Netflix? Do you see that?
I heard about them.
There's some trans protests at Netflix over this comedian. I haven't seen the show, Dave Chappelle or something. But I just happened to catch it in the night. I was reading the news like I do. And what cracks me up is they're all out there holding their placards, but they got a placard in one hand, whatever, trans rights, this, that, and the other. And then they're filming themselves on their phone holding their placards. Oh. It's just fucking madness. And that other thing on Twitter the other day, the bloke who went into one of our hospitals here to serve them the Nuremberg code. Did you see that?
No. That's on Twitter. Oh, that's worth a watch. That. So I don't know the guy. Some fucking idiot. He turns up in hospital. Just goes up to a member of the hospital staff. He's got like 8 brown envelopes.
Oh no, I did see that actually.
Yeah. In a green hoodie, and he starts serving them. She makes her hold them Nuremberg code. These are all legally binding bollocks.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking one of the lines, and Simon Dennis pointed it out. Stop doing that. It is annoying. Fucking changing his background every 2 minutes. See, it catches my eye. But all his mates, again, they're all filming it. Everybody's got to film everything, haven't they? That is the world we live in now. Half the water's gone now. We're circling the dregs around the fucking plug hole, and it's going. We should change that sign at Welcome to Heathrow to Welcome to the Shit Show and fucking move on, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
It's the same
with all the process on the road as well, isn't it? Right. Everyone's filming, everyone's sitting down.
Yeah, it's just non-stop, isn't it? Just everything is get the phone out, isn't it? Can you change that background?
Hey, mine?
Yes. Put it to something.
I can't change mine unless I start.
Put it to something neutral. Yeah, we've got normal walls. You keep coming up with something different every 2 seconds. Sorry about this. He's let himself go today. That's all right. I don't mind that. You can leave that up. That's fine. You can leave that up. Right. That's it. Right, let's get on to the football. All that, done Bond, done Netflix, done...
I'm happy to go last as usual.
Nuremberg Code. Right, well, we'll start. We're going to start with Arsenal versus Villa. I've not been too hot, actually, on the last couple of pods for the football.
I certainly haven't at all.
I had 3 losers the week before, and whilst only having 2 small bets last week, Everton got turned over, and Arsenal, who I did think would beat Palace comfortably, went one up early. I thought that would be it. But Palace fought back to take the lead, and I did say on the pod the other day, I put it on expecting, just wanted to see Vieira at the final whistle, and they go and concede with the last kick of the game.
Yeah.
Villa fans, I missed a trick. I let them off last week. I was too busy. We got a lot of Villa fans on the old podcast, and they should have got a lot more pelters than they got. 2-0 up with 10 minutes to go. Reminded me of another certain team that let 3 goals in the last 10 minutes. They go and let 3 goals in, but they won. They lost their game, Kev. They lost their game. They let 3 goals in. To a team that can't score goals, let them bag 3 in the last 10 minutes and Villa got duffed up at home. My notes for this game, Villa are shite, Arsenal are shite. but I do think goals will be scored. I think both of them are poor and I think they'll both get goals. I can't see Villa not scoring, can't see Arsenal not scoring. So over 2.5 goals from me from 2.0 upwards and trade as the goals go in. It's about, I think it's just under, it's about 1.9 something at the minute, but just let it kick off, get up to 2, and then trade as the goals go in. My usual is to let a goal go in, and then if I get back to my entry position without another goal, scratch it. If another one goes in, remove liability. That's what I've got. Kevin, welcome back to your football knowledge. Let's hear what your views are on the Arse versus Villa.
Yeah, I'm very much along the same lines as you, actually. I wouldn't trust either of these 2 teams at the moment. They're both dreadful. It's a typical mid-table clash, isn't it, really? And it's nice to say that Arsenal are in that now.
Yeah.
Change.
Yeah, and have been for a while, to be fair. You know,
exactly. Yeah, the last couple of years, definitely.
Yeah.
I've not got too much in it, but I looked at the... Arsenal were priced around 2 when I looked. So I filtered them out, 1.76 to 2. The only profitable scenario is the draw, which in 15 games gives us 11 points. Mm. Probably a no-bet game for me, but I think if I was pushed, I'd go along the same lines as you, as both teams to score. I think it was around about 1.8 when I looked.
Yeah,
I think they're both defensively terrible.
I do think they'll both score. I think there'll be goals. I'll be amazed if there isn't. Right, Ali G, what you got, son?
Yeah, well, I'm amusing to my ears hearing what you both say because I like both teams to score. And unfortunately, it's been getting backed all week. So it's now 1.74 on the exchange. So I'll take that. Arsenal, as you say, coming to this after a 2-2 v Palace on Monday. And it was quite an open game and Palace deserved the win in the end. And the last 2 here have seen 4 goals and I fancy goals much like you 2 again today. Well, not to, it is today, yeah. Villa come into this having lost 3-2 with Wolves at home after being 2-0 up. And first goal they could see was 80 minutes onward. Away they have scored and conceded 3 from 4. Head-to-head here is great for goals. The last 11 all going over 2.5 goals. Similar opponent stats is excellent. 8 from 10 for Arsenal, both to score. And away, Villa, 7 from 10. So, yeah, both to score looks quite an obvious bet, doesn't it?
Okay, son. Right. Well, then, flipping it. This is a good start. We're all in agreement.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, it won't stay like that.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't think it will either.
No, right. Right, next game, Chelsea versus Norwich. I've got nothing. Chalk it up. Chelsea fucking win 3-0, 4-0, 5-0. Norwich is shite. Move on. Right, next. Kev, have you got anything for Chelsea, Norwich?
Tip Norwich up, you couldn't I really?
Well, it's sort of type, this is a sort of position where you might earn yourself another year's sabbatical.
No, same as you really. Chelsea without Lukaku, and I think Timo Werner's out as well, both for injuries in the week. Billy Gilmore can't play because he's playing against his parent club, so both are without players. But I think if Chelsea were going to miss their strikers, they'd rather have it in this game rather than any of the others.
Exactly, yeah.
I think they've won 17 of their last 20 in the same price bracket. Norwich just can't score for toffee, can they, to be honest? No. I think they've scored 2 all season.
Yeah.
Can't see them scoring at all here. I think Chelsea would probably coast to an easy victory, probably 2 or 3-0.
Yeah, I think Norwich should just prepare for life in the Championship now. That's all I'd be doing. Right, go on then.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. 2-0, 3-0, easy home win, even without the two forwards. I came close and put Norwich up for a couple of cards, but the referee puts me off, Andrew Madley. He's very, very lenient, and it's a no-bet game for me because of that.
Okay, mate, no problemo. Saints-Burnley, I've got next on my list. Saints in 15th, Burnley winless in 18th. Saints ground out a win against Leeds last week. I've talked and I will talk again and probably continue for the rest of the season about my views on Leeds. I think they're in real trouble, Leeds. And I keep saying that Dyche will get Burnley out of it, but we're getting to the stage now where he's got to start getting some results. This is an opportunity because Saints are an unpredictable team, but I don't have a bet. I think the Saints might nick this one, but Burnley have been poor, but they're just too short for me. 2.04 when I looked. I just couldn't get involved in Southampton at that price personally. But yeah, again, it's a gun to me head. I think the Saints, I think both teams will see this as an opportunity. Dyche is going to look at these sort of fixtures and think this is something we've got to get something from. And Saints will be looking, thinking we can beat them as they did last week against Leeds. So yeah, I've got nothing in the game, but I just think Southampton might nick it and Burnley could find themselves in a battle forward. But you guys see it differently?
Oh, I see it the same, actually, to be honest. Southampton did the double over Burnley last season. Their own form's reasonable this season. I think they've lost just the one. Burnley haven't won in 8 this season. Struggled to score. I think the thing with Burnley, I think they might fall into Southampton's hands here. They press quite high. And I think if they do that, they're going to create some space for Southampton. And I think Southampton could hit them on the break. So I'm going for Southampton to nick it, take all 3 points.
He's gone from numbers into tactics now. He's flipping, talking about patterns of play and the press. Listen to him. Right, go on, Sam.
Yeah, well, it's a no-bet game for me as we have a Southampton side that have won 1 in 8 playing a Burnley side who have yet to get their first win. Same as you two. If I had to pick, I would go a home win as they did win home and away v Burnley last season. And I don't see them losing this game today. Well, Saturday, but I don't see them losing the game.
Yeah. Okay, son. Yeah. Right. This is too much agreeing going on. Don't like it. We're probably going to agree on this one as well. Brighton versus City. Brighton, obviously, that great start and then winless in the last 3. Same points as a certain London team. They will be bottom half is still my prediction. And City will beat them here comfortably. City seem to be hitting stride and Yeah, I'll be very surprised. Well, it won't happen. City will win this game. I'm feeling pretty confident that City turn them over. No, nothing at the prices. So move on for me. KK?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you again, which I don't like doing too often, but I'm going to have to. Brighton won this fixture last year 3-2, didn't they, after being 2-0 down. Can't see them doing that again. It was a fantastic comeback last year. But previous meetings have been dominated by City. I think the year before that was 5-0. The year before that, 4-1. So for me, it's a City win. But the prices, I feel it would amount between 1.26 and 1.5. 59 fixtures and they're a point down. Yeah. So there's nothing in the price.
No.
So for me, it's just watch and admire City, I think, this weekend.
Yeah. All right, son. And so the old whiz kid might have something here. Yeah, hold on.
I have. Well, yeah. I wouldn't say I'm the whiz kid, but I have got something.
I knew he had. I could just see it in his face that he had a bit. I could see him champing up a bit to get to the mic.
I agree with you both. I see 1-0, 2-0 City win because all their games have been narrow. Only one of their four away has gone over. But I actually like cards. Brighton to get a couple of cards. Bet365 go 1.73. Sky go 20 plus points, which is the same, two yellow cards. 1.73. Brighton this season so far averaged 2.63 cards a game, and at home so far 2.25, and they've got two in three from four here so far. And head-to-head shows they got two home and away last season for City, and in a game where they're going to be largely chasing to get the ball back, they could easily get frustrated, and like many teams playing City, and I think two cards, it's got a good chance. Kevin Friend's a referee. Last 20, he averaged 2.75. And this season, he averaged 3.4 in five league games so far. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Okay, right. Cards it is. Right, Leeds up. Leeds versus Wolves next for me. Wolves up to 10th with their comeback. As I've said earlier when I was talking about Leeds at Southampton, I've said they'll struggle. Their honeymoon period is well and truly over from last season. I think teams have worked them out, playing against them different this year. I do think they're going to find themselves in a relegation scrap, personally. I think they're going to be one of the teams that are battling to stay up. Wolves have got to be just feeling fantastic after last week. I mean, I don't know how the goals panned out and whether Villa just capitulated or whatever, because I didn't watch the game. But any time you sort of get three in the last 10 minutes, you get excited, don't you, Kev? So,
you wouldn't know, would you?
I wouldn't know. you did win that game, didn't you? Oh, no, you didn't. You didn't. Right.
And it felt like a loss to you.
Yeah, so, Wolves will be buoyed by that. If I had a gun to my head, I'd be laying Leeds. I've not got a bet, but if I had I think they're 2.66, something like that, I'd be laying them. I don't think Leeds are very good this season, and I do think Wolves will be, you know, having got that last week, one away. Leeds are no better than Villa. Villa, I'd say, are slightly better than Leeds. So I think if I was doing anything, I'd lay Leeds here.
Yeah, I'm along the same lines, to be honest. Leeds haven't won any of their last five games against Wolves. Wolves have started to find some form. They've won their last three games. I tell you, one thing I like about Wolves is even when they were losing, they were creating loads of chances. They just couldn't finish it off.
They battered us. I mean,
And I've watched a few games this season of theirs, and they've done the same.
United.
They run around midfield, but they just cannot finish off. But I think they'll get a bit of confidence from last week's game. I think they'll create chances against Leeds and they'll nick one of them. So I can see them winning 1-0.
Okay.
And no bet game for me, but for me, Wolves are a big price at 3+, and I don't think they will lose. They won both games 1-0 last season, and I would say Wolves are better this season and Leeds are worse. And the last five overall, and they have won four of their last five in the league and play a team struggling and have won just 1-8. So even though I've got a no-bet game, I can't see Wolves losing, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, son. Right, Palace versus the Arabs next. Palace will definitely be feeling they should have four more points than they've got with their last quick kick equalisers they've given away to Brighton and the Gooners on Monday. So they do still find themselves with just the one win. As I've said the last couple of weeks, everybody's raving about them, but ultimately you've got to start getting wins and points on the board. The Arabs got a right fucking good slap in there. I mean, the dream start, the 1 minute goal, the fucking tea towels all up in the air. And I'm just going to talk about the Arabs for a minute because they're a fucking weird lot. I actually really like going to Newcastle. I've been up there two or three times for football, and I've met Scott Harvey up there for a couple of days a few years back. I'm not a fan of the football club, I have to say. Not been a massive fan, probably to do with them beating us in a FA Cup semi-final in the 90s. But and I know, I mean, Brian Brewis is a lovely FTS member, Geordie fan. I put him in a minority. I just always felt that they're a bit fucking big for their boots for a team that's won fuck all in 70 years. I think we all wanted them to beat Fergie that year just for Keegan's meltdown. But other than that, I'm not a massive fan. And obviously, they've sacked Bruce this week. So I had a little look at that when that happened yesterday or day before, whenever it was. I mean, they absolutely love Benitez. They love him up there. They treat him like a cult god. Benitez finished 10th and 13th, and Bruce finished 13th and 12th. His position, his final position, was higher than what Benitez was. And you'd think Bruce was like the absolute flipping devil, wouldn't you? I mean, they have treated him abysmally.
Terrible.
I find it stunning that Benitez is a cult hero with finishes of 10th and 13th. And you'd think Bruce was a serial Geordie rapist, the way he's been. And then he gets sacked and some of them go on and go, oh, good old Steve Bruce, he's a man of integrity. You've absolutely fucking crucified the guy for 2 years, every single week. So don't start giving it that. You're absolute fucking wankers. That's what you are. And Brian sort of said the celebrations at the stadium when this lot were fucking announced, when the beheaders took over, that it was because Ashley was gone. Well, Brian, I think in your case it might be. I have had contact, I've counted it up, with six Geordie fans or Geordie supporting families. I know a couple of families up there since this happened. And only Brian has mentioned the name Ashley. All the other five have all just thought they're going to be top of the world. They're going to buy all these players. They're fucking going to win the league, this, that, and the other. And they've won fuck all in 70 years. It's fuck all to do with Ashley going. They think they're going to get all this fucking money and fucking go on and buy everything. I think they should focus more on fucking staying in the division. I mean, they're 25-1 with fucking Skybet to win the Premier League in the next 5 years. Be lucky if they're fucking in it. So, yeah, I just think they're wankers. Sorry, Brian. I'm excluding you because you are, but don't give me all this. They're just doing it because they want to. They're fucking horrific, horrific. And I'm fucking glad we shit on your parade last week. And part of me, I think they're going to become the most detested side in English football very quickly, which they probably don't care about if they're winning things. But when they're getting the shit ripped out of them, if they're not winning, then they will. And I think Palace are going to win this. I would have liked a bigger price. I'd have liked 2.3, 2.4, something like that. So I have to leave it on price. But I think Palace will get a win. Looks like Newcastle are going to appoint the guy that Spurs pissed around in the summer, Fonseca. I don't think that's going to be a good appointment for them this season. It might be if they've got some players, but I don't think trying to get that lot to play attractive, flowing football is what Newcastle need. Newcastle needs somebody that can keep them in the league. I'll tell you who you need, Brian. Big Sam, that's who you need. Someone who can keep him in the league, but he might be if they bought a few players and had a bit of style about them, then he might be the man. But I to quote their famous manager, I'd fucking love it if they went down. I just don't think he's the right man. I don't think it's going to get better for them this week. I think it's going to be a long ride to that January transfer window, and I see them getting beat at the weekend. So they can all go up there with their tea towels. And I think they've been barred right now. Haven't the old Newcastle club put out a statement saying, please don't wear the tea towels and that, haven't they?
Something like that, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So there you go. Right, What do you guys got? Sorry, I got my soapbox in. What do you guys got? We haven't even got to the big game of the week yet.
We haven't, no. I think this is a dire game, to be honest. Newcastle haven't won in their last nine. I've only won once this season.
You cut out there.
Who was that against? Palace have only won once this season. Who did they beat this season?
They beat Spurs, yeah, comfortably.
Was it? Oh, right. So it's an easy team they beat them, was it?
Yeah.
But they've drawn five of their opening eight games. I think this is going to be another draw. I think they're just not taking their chances enough. Don't think Newcastle are great by any aspects, but I think they might have enough about them to maybe get a 1-1 draw. So I'll go draw at the prices.
Okay. And Scotty boy or Zed?
I've got nothing for the game, but I agree with you. I think Palace are a far better team than Newcastle, and they are slowly improving, and they definitely should have 4 points more. An improving team against a team that are doing the opposite. I certainly don't think Newcastle are going to win. And home win for me.
Okay. Right, so that brings us on to Everton versus Watford. Everton, I put up for a half-point win last week, had a very disappointing result. Did fancy him last week, but West Ham nicked it, and the old fucking guy on the right's grinning like, look at him, grinning like a Cheshire cat, and look at him. But this will be redemption time. I've had two fill-your-boots bets this weekend, one this season on the pod. One was Everton, one was Arsenal to beat Spurs. This is another one for me. Ranieri is not going to work at Watford. I'm telling you that. Whatever a number job it is, 23, slapped last week. The other side of the Scouse City is going to give him a slap in this week. Watford have played 10 games since their last visit to the Premier League as a bottom six side away to top half. They've won none of them. They've drawn two, lost eight. They've conceded an average of just under 3 goals a game. It is an Everton fill-your-boots job for me. I was quite amazed at the price I saw Everton.
Yeah,
I thought they'd be around 1.55, 1.6, absolute maximum. To see them at 1.7x, I couldn't quite believe what I'm seeing. So it is for me, Sam Cassidy, son up there. Fill your boots on Everton. This is the one. Ranieri will be gone by March.
One or two points.
Fill your boots, son. Fill your boots. Get the fucking lot. Go and mortgage it. Go and get your IVA. Get it all in. Get everything in. Fill your boots.
I'm going to agree with you again, Ian. This is uncanny. I've got down here bet of the weekend. Looking into it, Watford's away record's probably one of the poorest. In their last 10 games, they've picked up points in just one game, and that was against Norwich.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Proves how bad they are. They're absolutely garbage away from home. I think they had been for a few years, but their home record saves them every year, doesn't it? I was surprised Everton didn't beat us last week. They've been our bogey team for
He's cut out again.
3 years.
Fortunately, you get bad internet in Essex, so we didn't hear that.
It just when I talk about West Ham,
it cuts out.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think Ian's got a button.
Did you get any of that or not? None of it.
Fortunately, no. So move on.
What I was going to say is, for me, it's just Everton. I'm all over Everton. They've won their other three home fixtures. Just lost out to a really decent team this year.
All right, moving on, Scotty. This is unbearable now.
Everton to win by 2 or 3 goals for me. And all the teams they've played, apart from Luton to Everton, they've scored 2 or more. But with both forwards out, they've talked that Decore's out as well. They're talking Ricardson back, but I don't know if he'll make it the bench. So I'm not betting it as far as, but I think Everton are a strong home win.
Yeah, okay, son. Brentford Leicester next. Limited info on Brentford, obviously. Exciting coming to the league, having a go, it's good. Leicester, who had had their own patchy start and then gave Ollie a right old duffing up last week. I think this will be a good game, and this is one for me to, again, same as the first game, to trade over 2.5 goals. I think wait for it to get to 2.0, drip in. and the usual rules from there. Manage yourself from that position. But I do think I think you definitely see goals here. So Brentford, Everton, haven't got a view on the result, but trade the 2.5 for me. KK, can we get through this game without fucking mentioning West Ham?
Probably not. No, I've not got a lot for this game, to be honest. But I was interested to see that the prices were very similar. When I looked, Brentford were 2.8, Leicester 2.74. So almost nothing in the teams, but I don't see it that way. I think Leicester are a miles better team than Brentford. They haven't started the season that well this year, but they have started to pick up over the last three or four games. So I think I'd probably, if I was pushed, back Leicester away.
Would you? It's 5-1 in that Japanese game. No, I mean, Brentford, what, they lost to Chelsea last time out, didn't they? Drew 3-0.
Absolutely battered them.
Who?
They battered them at the end.
What, Brentford battered Chelsea?
Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah.
And they drew with Liverpool 3-3. They beat Oldham 7-0, beat Watford Wolves 2-0. And
beat the Hammers.
And in the middle there, they got another win, didn't they?
I forgot. I've erased that one from the memory.
Yeah, I was intrigued by your comment where you said they haven't. You see them as miles different and miles out. I think Brentford...
Well, I do. Over the past couple of seasons, when you look at what Leicester have achieved...
Yeah, but we can't look at what Brentford, because they weren't in the league, were they? But Leicester have been average the start of this season, and Brentford have been, very good. I think the fact that they beat you, you're letting it cloud your judgment, son. This is the problem. See? We're trying to be impartial on here.
He's always putting his own team down, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, Scotty, do you have anything for this?
I do. I really like both teams to score. Both teams to score exchange is 1.77. As you said, Brentford did lose last time out to Chelsea 1-0. But I think their goalkeeper, Mendy, may have got mad of the match. And as usual, they gave it a go. And how they failed to score, I don't know. They had 17 shots, and 7 were on target. They play the same to that tomorrow or Sunday. They'll score 1 minimum. Leicester had an excellent 4-2 win beat Man United last time out, and hopefully that's the kickstart to the season they needed. And away, all four of their games so far saw both to score, and so far they've kept just one clean sheet in 8 this season. Leicester won't be keeping a clean sheet on Sunday, and I think both to score is a strong selection. Sporting Index go Brentford 1.25 to 1.4 to score a goal, and exactly the same for Leicester. So to do either of those, you'd have to buy and get 2 goals for either side. So, yeah, both to score is a good bet, I reckon.
So that ties in with my over 2.5 thinking as well. Good, good, good. Right, then we got a small game up north. Man U home to Liverpool. I hate talking about them, but you got to say they're playing well at the minute. I mean, Liverpool have scored 3 or more in their last away game, 8 away games. Which is simply staggering, to be honest. They are scoring for fun, by all accounts. Scott, you and I had a conversation about this in the week. Salah's playing well. I don't watch them because it makes my skin crawl, but I do, by all accounts, he is playing well. Fucking show him outside. Show the fucker outside. How hard is it? It's all you've got to do. Unbelievable that these fucking defenders let him just come inside. Show him outside, do your fucking job, and you nullify him. Fucking simple. I should be a fucking... As well as being James Bond, I should be a manager. United, for the players they've got, it's disarray in it for me. It is, you know, I know they got the win in midweek coming back from 3-0 down, but they are just relying on a Ronaldo to get them out of trouble all the time.
Yeah, an individual, aren't they?
Or a Fernandez penalty. It's a derby. Anything could happen. United do have good players. Overs is too short for me. I do like Liverpool here just for the form they're in. But they have only won 7 of their last 20 away to top 6 sides. So it's one to watch. But I do think come 6:30 Sunday, I think Ollie is going to be under a lot of pressure. I think he's going to be getting a bit of stick. I do think Liverpool are going to win the game, is my view on it. And they may win it comfortably. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what United turn up. But I do think that Liverpool will win this game. Over to you, KK.
Yeah, good game, this one, I think. One I'm going to watch. In this fixture at Old Trafford, the draw is the only profitable outcome. There's only a couple of points, so there's not a lot in it. But Man United have edged this fixture with 4 wins in 9. They haven't won any of the last 3, however. Liverpool have improved over the past few years. for me, at the prices, I think 3.75 for the draw. I'd like to back the draw and then remove my liability if it gets down to 2, or if there's a late equaliser, then get out for a lot lower. That's the way I'd play the game.
Yeah. Well, I'd be very happy with that. I'll be very happy with either of you are right, because it's as a Liverpool fan, it's a game I don't look forward to the most each season. And I would take a draw now. If I was Solskjaer, I would play to play it pretty, keep stay deep so we can't get in behind them, and keep it tight with our pace so we can't get in behind. And I think Liverpool's defence is overrated, and I think Man United will score. And now I think if I was them, I'd be keeping it tight, knowing we will nick one on the break. So it's a game I won't be getting involved in. Obviously, I'll be watching as a fan, but I'd snap your hand off for a 0-0, 1-1. Because we just know the form goes out the window. If Man United play like they did in midweek or against Leicester, Liverpool will win it easy. But we just know that won't happen. And prior to last season, as you said, they were really tight at Old Trafford. And your draw is a good selection, I reckon. Like I said, I would take it now. But as Ian said, I'm one of the world's biggest pessimists about my own team. I always fear the worst. And if I like them in a game, that means there's quite a good chance they're going to win. But no, I agree. I would take the draw now.
Okay, we got interesting. It's really interesting, isn't it, that you said that's one of your biggest worries of the season. We got a lot of Liverpool fans on FTS, a lot of Everton fans. I'm interested to know, is the United Liverpool game bigger than Everton Liverpool?
Far by a mile for me.
But are you only saying that because you don't live up there? Like, if you're a Liverpool fan living in Liverpool, is Everton Liverpool bigger than United Liverpool?
I would still say that the majority will say no, and they'll still say Man United, because Everton, no disrespect to Everton, but they don't win anything. They're not really a challenge. It's only a local derby, but they're not.
But hang on. Whoa. Liverpool weren't a challenge to United for 20 years.
No, but
and then after that, United haven't won anything for 4 or 5 years. So it's not like they're both battling each other out to win stuff. Liverpool didn't lay a glove on United when United were top of the table under Ferguson. It was United and Arsenal, then United and Chelsea. It was never United and Liverpool.
I think it's because we were a big team. We weren't doing it.
Well, I'm interested to find out what the people in the actual city think. The people, not the fucking outsiders. The people who, I know they've only got about 5 people in the city that support the teams, but if they are there. And similarly, United fans. Is United Derby, United City, is that bigger than United Liverpool? Or how do you see
it? I was a better man. I'd say United would say very much bigger than City United.
But is that just because they don't want to admit that City are a challenging team now?
Taking
your argument of winning things now, then you know you can't deny that City are winning things.
They are, but they're still some way off taking over them in the actual overall, aren't they?
So yeah, I'm interested. I'm just interested with that. Interested. Which leads us on then to the biggest game of the weekend. Here we go. This could be skin and hair everywhere. West Ham in the old Carpet Stadium, the Mo Farah Stadium. Welcome Spurs. Got to say it, West Ham have been absolutely brilliant. One of their best starts to a Premier League campaign ever. Spurs have been fucking awful. Even let 2 into the Arabs. A calamitous own goal by Dyer at the end. As despite what your best bald mate Suggsy Kev says, Dyer is still fucking useless. I mean, when we look back on history, it's going to be one of the fucking wonders of the 21st century. Now, Harry Winks and Eric Dyer got fucking England caps, isn't it? It's going to be, I mean, if ever you talk about how the England performance has gone down, you look how these two got England caps. He's absolutely fucking desperate. Anyway, West Ham have been brilliant, amazing, you know, jump up and down. I mean, it's not long ago we talked about Bruce and his treatment at Newcastle. I mean, West Ham fans were rioting in their own stadium, weren't they? They were rioting amongst themselves in their own stadium, not with other fans, in their own stadium to try and kill the flipping co-chairman, Golden Sullivan. And now they're like hugging cardboard cutouts of them, aren't they? It's amazing how fickle football is. And so I checked the table because I thought this fantastic start that West Ham have had, and they're fucking brilliant. And I've said every week how shit Spurs are. So doing the thing, you just come across the table and I thought they were 8 points clear, West Ham. I thought they were like fucking 8 points clear. They're below Tottenham and Brighton. I mean, this fantastic best start ever, and you're still below us. It can't be right. I mean, I need to have a word with the old Premier League because they must have their numbers wrong from what I'm listening to. They must have something. The old computer's gone fucking tits up completely, isn't it? Honestly, I mean, the way the fans are behaving, every time I speak to them, they're talking about Champions League and chance of winning the title, and they're not even above the fucking worst Spurs team I've seen in fucking years. They're not even above them. And Spurs have played City, Spurs have played Chelsea. You've only played United. You haven't played Liverpool, City, Chelsea yet. You've got all them to come. It's fucking amazing. It can't be right. Absolute fucking jokers. Lost to Brentford last time. Brentford ain't very good, by the way. He's told us that already. Fucking hell. Spurs are desperate. They may well fucking beat us. They may well, because we are poor. But I've just got a sneaky feeling that Spurs don't lose this game. I'm not saying we'll win it, but I've got a sneaky feeling. That's all I'm saying is that we won't lose this game. They've won one home game against top six opposition in this good spell, and that was against Leicester at the back end of last season when Leicester were imploding for their Champions League qualification. The old carpets, as they are prone to do, are getting way above their fucking station, just a notch down from the Geordies. They're getting fucking way above their station. And all I say to you is, you better fucking win, son, because otherwise Sunday's going to be a bit of a nightmare for you. You won't be watching that Liverpool game because I'll be fucking hounding you constantly. But yeah, there you go. So anyway, Kev, tell us about this fantastic top of the table form that you're in.
Well, I'm going to surprise you now. I'm going to agree with you.
You haven't been agreeing with me in WhatsApp all week. You've been telling me you're going to stuff us. Been all excited.
Well, that was a little bit of
bravado.
Up a little bit. I've got to agree with you. And I looked at the prices, and West Ham 2.46 when I looked on Thursday. In the last nine games, where the fixture's been at Upton Park or we're at London Stadium, what do you think our average price has been?
Probably somewhere around about 2.8, I would think, 2.9.
4.69.
Has it really? Wow.
Yeah. And I was astonished when I see that. And yeah. I thought, how can we be 2.46 this week? It's no value there at all.
No, I think it's short. I do think you're short. I think you're way too short.
So then I looked into the past fixtures. So the past nine fixtures, West Ham at home, they've been fairly even at home. We've won four. There hasn't been a draw yet in those nine games. And Spurs have edged it with five wins. On current form, there's nothing in it, as you say, because there's only a point in it on the league.
Yeah.
And then since 93, we've played 55 times. Spurs, 27 wins. West Ham have won 18. And there's been 10 draws. So for me, I hate to say this, the bet is to back Spurs. And if you take the lead, to lay you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's nothing in it. I mean, I think a lot of it's been made of the Spurs that showed up at Arsenal in the last sort of London. And we were desperate. But I think the manager realised he got that horribly wrong with the team he's played. He's ditched Ali out of that setup. When you watch the midfield in that game, if you actually froze some pictures, we didn't have a midfield. You had like five players at one end of the pitch and four defenders and a whacking great fucking hole in the middle. He's brought Skip and Holberg in. I said last week in the pod, I think Spurs' shape is much better. And I still don't think we're very good, but I think our shape is much better now. I think we'll be harder to beat, but Spurs can beat themselves. That's the thing. You could turn up and, you know, the defenders can be calamitous. But I do think West Ham are too short. I'm not going there thinking Spurs will come away with a win, and I wouldn't be surprised if we lost. But I think you're too short, and I've just got a feeling that we're going to set up a bit better and a bit more solid, and we'll be hard to beat more than we'll go and win the game. So that's my view. Let's hear the neutral view.
Well, the neutral view likes both teams to score. Because I can see it finished in a score draw, or if either team is to win, I don't think they'll win 2-0. I can see a score draw or 2-1 either way. So West Ham, as you said, all four of their games have gone both to score this season at home. They've only kept 2 clean sheets overall so far, but have scored in 7 of their 8, and usually score but look like conceding as well. Spurs look to be slowly improving. As Ian says, he feels they have found a formation that suits the team and players better. And the last 2 away have seen both score land. 6 of their last 7 games in all comps before last night have seen both teams to score as well. Kane's now scored his first league goal of the season, and that tends to see him score a few in a row. The similar opponent stats is excellent. West Ham, 9 from 10 at home for both to score. And Spurs, I believe, is 7 from 10. Both to score on the exchange was 1.71. And the like on Sporting Index, each team, West Ham 1.35 to 1.5 goals, and Spurs 1.2 to 1.35. So I think both to score is a good bet.
Okay, Sam. Well, yeah, I think we'd both take a 1-1 now and move on and get it behind us.
I most certainly think we would.
I think coming on the back end of that, I mean, obviously Chelsea fucking duffed us right up, which I did expect anyway. But the Arsenal one, I did think Arsenal would win the game, but it was the way they won it. To get a hat trick of fucking pastings in London derbies and Palace as well, it wouldn't be a lot of fun. I'm talking myself into West Ham winning this, and more I go on. But we'll see what happens. But that's the big game of the fucking weekend, you Scouse and Manx. Just fucking understand it. That's the big
or is game. It, Kev?
Well, I don't think it is. I don't think we've
no, I agree with
game
you.
Game of the season yet.
Huh?
I don't think we've touched on the big game of the weekend.
What's the big game of the weekend?
El Clasico.
Oh my good God.
It's gotta be, isn't it?
Huh?
It's gotta be. That's the biggest game.
Two fucking has been bankrupt clubs. I'm not even discussing them. One of them owes the fucking national debt of fucking Ethiopia. I'm not even entertaining it. I don't even.
You ask any neutral about football around the world, they would say that's the biggest game of the weekend. I've previewed it.
Clearly, you two have had a little tally up to get this out. So go on. Do your thing.
You got anything on it, Scott?
Yeah, I have. Oh, well, I'm quite happy to go first, Kev, my friend.
Honestly, absolutely pathetic, you two. Go on.
Okay. Barcelona haven't won any of the last 3 games against Madrid. The last 9 meetings at the Nou Camp, seen Barca win 3. 4 draws and 2 away for Real Madrid. The 4 draws show 7.35 points profit. And I think the draw here was 3.95 when I looked, and I think that's big. So I think, again, I'd go in back the draw and I'd remove my liability if it got down to 2, or if there's a late equaliser, I'd get out even lower.
Right. And to me, I've had a look at it, and I thought it was a ghastly game to call as far as goals or anything. But neither team are as good as they were. Barca's probably the weakest team they've had in many years without Messi. I thought there was an excellent form line this week in the Champions League. Barca laboured to a 1-0 win over Dynamo Kiev. And the night after, Real Madrid won 5-0 at Shakhtar, who were only 3 points behind Dynamo Kiev in the same league, who met on the 3rd and drew 0-0. So to me, that's quite a big edge in favour of Real. So if I was betting the game, I'd be laying Barca. I had a look at cards. The ref loves a card. He averages 5.5 a game. And anyone wants a game of bet on cards, then that's quite a good one. Bet365 go. Asian cards of 6. They average 7.27 here, the last 11 between them. And if there's any 6, you get your money back. And another one, which is an absolute beauty, is corners. For any corners lovers over there, out there, over 8.5 corners is 1.754 marathon, 1.72 bet365. When you consider just their team corners, Barca average 8 at home, Real average 6 away, that's 14 between them. And the head-to-head here, the last 11, averages 10.18. So to just get 9 between them at 1.74 sounds excellent to me. So yeah, that's what I've got, Kev. What about you, Ian?
It's nonsense. It's nonsense. I've been absolutely hijacked on my own podcast to talk about bollocks. Bankrupt, Super League, loving fucking nonsense. Got no interest in either of them. I hope they fucking both go bankrupt and disappear off the face of the earth. There you go. while you were talking your waffle there, I just opened up because we've got, for Ultimate members, the Poisson sheet populates this week. The two, and this is Poisson, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but Wolves are, in the Premier League, Wolves are strong favourites to win a Leeds, and the second best away team is Liverpool at Man United. And the biggest outsiders of the week are Newcastle away to Palace.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So there, and West Ham are just slight odds on favourites on Poisson numbers against Spurs. But that's, I think some of Spurs' figures are distorted in that three terrible games they had, to be fair. It'll all settle down. But certainly the Liverpool one, Wolves, and the Newcastle look fucking terrible when you look at that. Fucking terrible. Three top scores, Palace versus Newcastle, 2-0, 1-0, 3-0. Newcastle, get ready for the championship. Where you take your old tea towels with you. See you later. Right, boys. Well, thank you very much. I have to say, when I've heard my mates talking about threesomes, it's been a lot more enjoyable experience, it seems, than this one. But I do thank you both for coming on. Have you got anything in closing? Anything you'd like to talk about in closing, Kev?
Well, I'd like to say thanks for having me back. And I'd also like to thank Scott, actually, as well. I think his podcast in the week was fantastic. And I think to open up and explain exactly what he'd gone through, I thought it was really good. And I think there'd be a lot of people that listen to your podcast that would get a lot out of that. So I'd like to thank him for his honesty and everything.
It's also
very nice to actually see Scott, because we've got a bit of a friendship on Twitter, but I've never actually met Scott, so it was good to actually catch up with him today.
You'll be distancing yourself very quickly, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to block him in a minute.
Seeing what I have to put up with. It was a good podcast Tuesday, and I mean, apart from all the name change nonsense and the dress code, he's not a bad lad. But I'll
thanks very much, Kev. I really appreciate that. And it's great putting, even though I've seen pictures of you, it still feels like we've met almost doing it like this. And I've really enjoyed it. And thanks to Ian for having me on as well.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the middle of a sumo bout, I'll be honest. There we go. Right. Thank you both for coming on. And I'll have a good, enjoyable weekend. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Our Ultimate members, I'll be on Zoom tonight at 7 o'clock. But good profits for everybody this weekend. Careful, see how you go. We might get you back. It's all on the... All right, see you later, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Cheers, guys.
Bye.
See you later.